and welcome to another episode of the Pure Nintendo Podcast. My name is Roger. Along with me is my good friend and co-host. I have Gemma.
Hello, Roger. How are you today? I was going to say this evening, but it's not for you today. How are you today?
Good morning to you. Good evening to you. I am doing well. How are you?
Greetings and salutations. Let's say that.
Going well
for a Monday. Good.
Yeah. Is it Monday by you? Yeah, it still is Monday, right? Mm-hmm, or no? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm always confused barely. By this time difference.
I know. It's crazy, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Things are good.
We have a big show today. We have Barry joining us from Premium Edition Games.
Awesome.
And he's going to be talking about Premium Edition Games. Mm-hmm. So we have that coming up here. Before we get into that, though, we always start off the show with the Amiibo of the Week. And I don't even know why we do this anymore, because I don't have any.
Well, it's a tradition.
It is. It's like a Christmas tradition.
It is. Sadly, I am the Grinch of Christmas this week.
Wait, what?
I don't have a new Amiibo to talk about.
Oh, neither do I.
I completely lost track of this because we recorded on a different day last week. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, we did.
Maybe because life just got in the way. But I don't have any new Amiibos in front of me. But I'll tell you what I did do instead.
Wait, I thought that you were going to get the Splatoon Amiibos.
Well, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, you are correct about that. I just haven't picked them up yet.
Oh, okay. Weren't you just at the store, though?
No, different store. I don't know what I did. I pre-ordered it from a different store to one that I pre-ordered Pokemon. Today I went and finally picked up Pokemon, which we'll get to. So that's kind of my local store, my local EB Games. I pre-ordered the Splatoon Amiibo from the city store, which is where I work. And I haven't worked in the city. I've been working from home a lot recently. And so I just haven't been there. Probably this week I will get there. So probably next week I will have them to talk about. But in the meantime, I did do something a little different because I wanted to have something to talk about Amiibo related. I decided to order some Amiibo cards.
Oh, you did?
The Animal Crossing ones.
Uh-huh.
You know, because as if I wasn't addicted enough to Amiibo, why not get cards and get addicted to those as well?
Yeah, right.
They haven't arrived yet, though. So
next
week I'll have loads of Amiibo related stuff. But, you know, there's five seasons of Amiibo cards related to Animal Crossing.
Five seasons?
That I could see. And I haven't looked into how many cards there are per season, but I bought three. There was a minimum, but I bought three packs. Five in each or something like that. So maybe I'll get 15. I don't know.
Wow.
I'll update you. It actually probably will arrive tomorrow, which is really bad timing, but that's okay. but I'm interested to see what these things are like and I'm going to tell you about the quality of them and what they look like and how they work. So that'll be fun. Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Why haven't you got the Splatoon Amiibo?
Because of money?
Oh, right. That stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still recovering from our trip, so that's why I was I should just hold off for a while. Mm-hmm. I did put Amiibos on my Christmas list, though.
Well, that's cool. That's a nice thing.
Somebody says, "Hey, that guy needs to catch up with Gemma," so I'll buy him some Amiibos for the holidays. But
if you've been good this year, then you'll be rewarded. But I was looking because I thought, you know, Black Friday, we were talking about that last week, and sales over the weekend. And I don't know whether they do this over in America. I assume they do. But the sales kind of continue for the whole weekend, even today's being Monday. It's Cyber Monday. But I didn't see any Amiibo. I checked, you know, Amazon and a few places, and I didn't see any kind of Amiibo discounts. It's that would have been nice.
Yeah, I get the sense that they probably don't go on sale real often,
No, it doesn't look like it. Yeah. So, sorry to all the fans who desperately hang out for my Amiibo update every week.
Yeah, I know. You disappointed them. You are the Grinch of Christmas. Good job, Gemma.
Thanks.
You ruined the show.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. What have I done?
What have you done? The show's over. This is it. Sorry, Barry. We're not. We're going to end the show right now. I'm kidding, of course. Well, then let's move into some news of the week. Then, so I think I told you about this yesterday. So Nintendo of America has been giving some refunds, not to everybody apparently, but to some folks around the Pokemon Violet and Scarlet game.
Right. Okay. Like,
and
digital, like refunds for eShop or
I think physical? So. Right. I think it's digital.
Has that ever been done before?
Well, so I read some of the comments in the article that I read, and some of the comments were like, this isn't new. This is they've done this before.
Right.
So okay. I guess they've done it for other Nintendo published games, but if that has happened, I haven't seen that before. No, but
me neither.
Yeah. So it's interesting because we talked about this before, but it feels like there's, you know, there's like two different sides of this coin. There are people that are like, this game is amazing. Mm-hmm. I really love this game so much. And yes, there's technical issues, but it hasn't affected my gameplay at all, like, or my enjoyment. I shouldn't say gameplay, my enjoyment of the game. Where there's others that are saying this is unplayable, like the technical issues this game has is unplayable. Now, you picked this game up.
I did, yes.
And have you played it?
I have spent about an hour playing it.
Okay, okay, because you just picked it up like today, right?
Today, yes.
Yeah.
I picked it up today. Sadly, I had to come straight back home to work and not play it. But I did play it tonight a little before the show because I really wanted to. I really wanted to play it, obviously. I mean, this is a week or more since it's come out, and I just haven't had a chance to pick it up, even though I pre-ordered it months ago. I couldn't even remember which one I pre-ordered. Do you know? Do you want to guess? Which
one? The one with the big character on the cover.
Yes!
Yes, how did you know? I got it. Violet.
I did get Violet, yes.
Okay. I knew that because purple. You shared a picture with me.
I did, actually. Yeah. you know what? I completely forgot that, too. I was pretty sure I got Violet because purple is like one of my favorite colors. So I'm like, probably going to go for Violet. And I'm glad I did because I didn't really know the difference when I pre-ordered it. And since then I've watched the trailers and all the differences between the games and I like the style of Violet better. So far, I mean, I'm only an hour in and I've started, but you know what? I've started to catch some wild Pokemon. Like I created my character. And I met someone at this new school that I'm going to, and I met the professor. And then, this new student, or I'm the new student, actually. This other student is showing me around and showing me the ropes. And we did a battle. That was cool. And then we went hunting for wild Pokemon together. And so I caught a bunch. I've got like maybe 10 or so. And that's pretty fun. And I haven't really had any issues. I mean, it's not like as smooth as, I don't know, Zelda games. There's an obvious difference, but I mean, I'm not seeing any terrible glitches, but like I am only 1 hour in and I'm not doing crazy kind of stuff at the moment. I'm just wandering around this kind of world looking for Pokemon at the moment. I'm just thinking the things that have bugged me so far have just been like little things, like there's no voice acting. So I'm just
that's all these people are talking. People
I'm just like, why aren't these people talking? But
that's normal for a Pokemon game, though.
Well, that's the thing. It probably is. So I don't really have a lot of experience with the Pokemon franchise. Yeah. So apart from, you know, the offshoots like Pokemon Unite and Pokemon Go, I've been playing more of those kinds of games than the actual proper Pokemon games. So I don't know how similar it is to the others. And if that's the case, that's fine. And that's not going to spoil my enjoyment of the game anyway. I don't need voice acting. It's just a nice kind of thing to have. And it seems a little strange that it's not there, but whatever. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so far, so fun. And
we'll
see how that goes. And from what you've read, are the complaints on handheld or on the television or both?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. I guess I don't know if they said specifically if it was been handheld or via docked. I've seen like people talking about how like when you catch a Pokemon, it just like chugs kind of like it's not it's not clean. And then I've seen other things where just the frame rates were dropping really bad and it just looked not great. And if that's occasional, fine, I think. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say fine, but it's if it's dropping frames and chugging all the time, then I would say but it is a $60 game. Now, here's the other thing. Mm-hmm. Nintendo or Game Freak, or the Pokemon company, they're the same thing. They haven't come out and said that they're going to they haven't addressed the issues yet. Don't worry, there's a patch coming or anything. So it's interesting to me that this was allowed to go on as a cart or on the eShop this way. Nintendo, as a publisher, Nintendo as just the like as a I guess as a company, you have to pass so many, they have to test the game and pass their test. Mm-hmm. And especially if you have a physical cart, but I'm a little surprised that they let this go. I don't know.
Yeah. And they're not strangers to postponing a game for those reasons. Yeah, right. We've all seen Zelda being pushed back, and other games being pushed back. We're sorry for the delay, but please let us fix this game. And it's cool. We know you want to give us your best product and we'll happily wait. Well, maybe not happily, but we'll wait a little longer. I think most people are okay with that because Nintendo are pretty upfront about it and they kind of give you a bit of notice. This one they didn't, and I don't know.
Moved it up, actually. Didn't they move it up? They moved up the release day, I think. I think they moved it earlier. There was a game that they said, I think, I could be wrong, but I thought there was something where they were like, hey, we have to delay. Maybe it was delaying Pokemon. I thought maybe they moved it up, but there was it was either Splatoon or Pokemon that they moved up the date. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Well, Splatoon has had its issues too. So
true. I mean, the thing with the voice acting, that's fine because there's text on the screen, it's all good. But the little Pokemons make little noises, right? Just chitter chatter, whatever noises they make. But then one of the human characters will laugh and there's no laughter.
Yeah.
And I'm that's weird because I'm hearing.
Welcome to Pokemon games, Gemma.
Is that right?
Yes.
I'm you could put laughter in. You don't have to do voice acting, but someone could just put a laugh in there, right? That's not hard, right?
Thank you. Game Freak. They could add that. Yes. Actually, you could take this clip, Gemma, and every time somebody laughs, you could just play that little clip.
I will. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even if it's this little kid.
Here's my little kid laugh.
Thank you.
There you go. Yeah.
And just need one more, just an old professor type as well, please.
There you go.
Thank you. Nailed it.
Yeah.
And how much would you charge for that?
For you, free. Anybody else? Thanks. $20 a laugh.
Hey, that's better than Bayonetta 3.
That's true.
Yeah. So it seems like there's a bit of a, Splatoon was what? That was September. And then we've got this in November. And we did have Mario in between, which was pretty flawless. So thankfully it wasn't three in a row. But bookending Mario with these two other games that do have their issues. I did notice when I first put the cartridge in, it did update. So I don't know what it did, but something happened. So it downloaded another, it was a pretty big update. I can't remember the file size, but it took a few minutes. So it was decent. So I don't know if they've already patched it, but I played it in handheld, just FYI. So for me, I didn't notice too much frame rate dropping. It's more... Like I said, a few just little annoying things, like apart from the voice acting, it's like you're walking. Oh, okay. This is such a little thing that I just found hilarious. I'm playing, right? And I'm saying goodbye to my mom or whatever, leaving the house, as in the game.
Yeah. Again, I just had to laugh because we had this conversation about Ash leaving home and his mom's like, yeah, whatever, kid, have fun today. And then,
this mom 30 years later, walked me down to the thing, which is fine. Anyway, that's not the thing. So I'm walking out of the house to go to this professor's castle, whatever it is. Looks like a castle. It's a giant house. And I'm walking around. I'm like, okay, here I am. I'm walking in Pokemon. I'm walking really slowly. I'm like, what is going on here? I'm walking really
slowly. There's not a run button?
No, there's not a run button. And I got so annoyed. And I'm talking like, I played this for like a couple of, like, there was a bit of a spiel inside the house before I left. But I'm playing this for like a few minutes outside of the house. And I'm like, there's got to be a run button. So I Googled, how do you run in Pokemon Violet? And this dude on YouTube's like, I started to watch his video. Here's how you run in Pokemon Violet Scarlet. And it's like, you literally walk out of the house down the hill and talk to the NPC and they tell you, and then you can run. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Oh my God.
So I just had to walk like another, you know, 50 meters in the game and then suddenly you can run. I'm like, what the? Wait. Why would you do that? That is so annoying.
So you don't know, your character doesn't know how to run until he talks to somebody and says, hey, do you know how to run? No. Well, let me tell you how to run.
No, you can't. It just automatically starts running when you get near this person for some reason. I don't know why. You get near this person and they tell you, I don't even know what they tell you, nothing about running. And suddenly you run and then you run all the time. There's no run button. You just run.
Oh, wow. Really?
Because
in Pokemon, I want to say Let's Go Eevee, I'm pretty sure. Like there's like, you can slowly move up because you want to sneak up behind. Maybe there's Legend Arceus too.
I think if you press the B button, you can crouch kind of.
Okay.
Not like a Link crouch, but like a weird half crouch where you kind of like bent your knees, but you're still standing kind of thing. And then you kind of back to this slow walking. But the walking, like, it was so slow. Like, I'm not kidding you. That's why I had to look it up. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'm not playing this game on this speed. Like, what is going on? But I wasn't patient. But why not just run from the outset? Why? It's just so weird, right?
Yeah, that is weird.
Apparently, the dude that I was listening to on YouTube said, and I don't know how accurate this is, but he's like, they want you to like take in the surroundings for the first kind of 5 minutes or whatever until you get to the running part. I'm like, I can do that while running. It's
like, Gemma, stop and smell the roses.
It's so smell the violets. So bizarre. And like the intro, there's like an intro before all this running business, and you can't skip it when the text appears. Like you can, but you have to wait. So the text appears, you read it, you're like, okay, skip. No, I can't skip. And then the skip thing appears and then you can skip it. I'm like, what kind of game does that? And then, but then normally in the game, like when you're playing later on, like when you can run and you're talking to other people, like the professor, you can just skip, you can just, the skip button appears as soon as he talks. Like, great, I can skip like a normal person. It's just these weird little oddities. And one more thing I'll say, what was it? You have to... there was something you do. Oh yeah, when I was customizing my character, I was customizing my hairstyle because you got to do that. You got to do the do, and you press like plus, I think, to say I'm done with this. Like I'm happy with this hairstyle. Then you do your eyes, and I'm pressing plus, and it's like no. And I look at the bottom, and it's like you press B to accept. I'm like, what? Why would you change?
Yeah, that's weird.
The accept button in the same menu, like you're doing the same thing. You're changing your style, hair, eyes, like you're doing your avatar or whatever.
Wow.
Like what? Who tested this? Who said this was a good design, a user interface, right? So these are the things that bug me. The little nitty details that are like, and I'm only an hour into it. And I'm not back in the game. It's still pretty fun and I'm going to keep playing it and I'm enjoying catching wild Pokemon, as I said, and I've caught like 10. But it was these little things that bugged me, not frame rates or anything like that. It was just these little silly UI decisions that just didn't make sense. So that's my feedback so far.
Welcome to Pokemon games.
Thanks.
Do you know if online is up and multiplayer online is up and running?
Well,
yet,
it or, told or me know? That it was. That might have been what the NPC said, actually, now that I think about it. I think they told me I can play with four people online. So they said I could, but I haven't obviously tried that because I don't have any friends.
Oh, so. You have me, but I just don't have the game.
You don't have it, though.
That's right. I don't know. I mean, I'll tell you what. If you spend a good week with this game and you're mm-hmm. like, yeah, this game is good, Roger. I like it a lot. Mm-hmm. I will pick it up.
Okay. That's a little
But
pressure.
If you play it for the week and you're like, don't get this. This is not, I don't know what I was thinking. This is not worth it. Don't do it. Then I'll be like, okay, thanks, Gemma. Thanks for being my guinea pig.
Sure. And then I'll go trade it and we'll see how much
and then you go trade it for 50 cents.
Yeah. At least it's out of its package. But I did get cool, and I showed you this and you know this already, but for listeners, I did get the cool tin case for it, which looks amazing. And I got home, I didn't realize in my bag, because I bought a few other things at EB because it's Christmas and I have kids, but not games, but just like, actually I bought a Pokemon like little plush thing. It's very cute. Anyway, so they put the things in my bag and I took the tin case out of the bag and I opened it up. I'm like, the game's not in here, but they gave me the actual case as well as the tin case.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. So I have two cases.
Oh, that's so that's unheard of, really.
I know. I'm like, why did you do that?
Yeah. What are you going to do with this extra case now?
I don't know. Because I just moved the game straight into the tin case for some reason. Because I'm like, it needs to be in the good case.
Right. Yeah. That's weird. Yeah,
I know. It's really strange. Probably the girl from EB is listening going, dang it, I didn't mean to do that.
Oh, no, that's I'm going to get fired now.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's some guy's just getting a cartridge with no case.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. We're out of cases. I don't know what happened.
I don't know what happened. Somebody came in and got two cases. I don't know why they wanted to get two cases, but they got two cases.
When I trade it in, I'm going to trade it in the crappy, like the original case.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
keep the tin case, which will be empty and pointless, but I will still have it.
Yeah. 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 And then you could put like a different game in there.
Yeah. Just for fun.
Yeah. I will say, it's funny that you say that. I will say a quick Roger story. Mm-hmm. When I was younger and I was PlayStation, mm-hmm. This is the first time like I owned a system that you would get a case for. Cause like before, like, Nintendo carts and Super Nintendo carts, you don't have cases for them. I mean, you had boxes, but I was stupid and not kept money in my boxes. I wish I would have, right? But but for PlayStation, we'd get like, you know, the jewel cases for the CDs, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's right. Yeah.
And oh my God, I cannot tell you how many times like I'd put the wrong game in the case, right? And then I'd open up, I'm like, that's not the game. Like years later, I'm like, that's not the game. And I am real particular now about that. Like, no, the game has to go in the right case. Like, I'm really, really particular about that with like my Wii games and my Switch games, mm-hmm. like, and my 3DS games. Like, I'm real particular about that now. So anyway, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, I'm pretty particular as well. I like to keep them in order, and when they don't, when they're not in order, they get lost. And I can tell you, I have a stack of 3DS cases that I found recently, kind of thing, when I was doing a bit of clean out. And like, there's maybe 30, I don't know, there's a lot, there's like 30. So I've separated them into two piles because one pile has the game in it, the others, I don't know where they are. They're like literally 15 of them are just missing. Like, well, how can I lose 15 cartridges?
Yeah.
This is me who used to put CDs like religiously in the right cases. Like, I would just be like, you just put that. I would like tell my sister, no, you borrow my CD, you put it back. That's why all yours are scratched and mine are all in good condition because they are in the case, in the right case. So I don't know. Oh, I don't know what happened. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I will say, like, now I have like, my Switch case has a bunch of slots to hold my games. So like the games that I play right religiously, and I don't have a lot of physical games, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that I do play religiously, I'll keep in those little slots, right? So that way I have them. But most of my games are in their cases on the shelf. So
I think
No.
Well, I was gonna say we should count how many we have, but I will have more than you.
Oh yeah, easily. Like I don't buy
more
that
physical,
many physical
games. Yeah,
yeah. I don't buy that many physical games. I really don't. So, but I do have a physical game. That I'm in it. I'm in the game. I'm in two games, Gemma. Did you know that? Two Nintendo games.
I knew you were in a zombie game. Is that a Nintendo game?
Yeah, that's one. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's on the Nintendo Switch. Yeah,
I'm that on counts.
Yeah. Yeah. That's Red really Colony cool. 3, I'm a zombie in that game. So you can kill me. Yeah. You can find me and kill me.
Did you do the sound effects then as well? Like the
no, the, I the didn't. Yeah, you know, the problem was I was like super busy during that time, and I didn't get my audio clip over to him in time. And that's fine. That's okay.
Oh, like, so you actually, I was joking, but you actually could have had your audio as well.
Yeah, I could have. I know. I was dumb. It was a misunderstanding on my part when he needed this stuff. But at least I'm in the game. This is the best part. I'm a podcaster that turned into a zombie.
That is very cool. Yeah. What would your zombie podcast and zombie noise have been?
Like, you know. So I'm in that game. And then there's another game called Battle Axe, I think.
Old Mega Drive game.
Yeah, I know. I think it has the same name. But I'm a NPC that you can save in that game, too.
Oh, that's and I cool. found...
So that one's random. Like, you don't, like, the way that the game works, it's like an old, not old, it's like, the premise is that it's like a retro style game where you go into towns and you have to beat the bad guys, and then you pick up NPCs for extra points, like extra, you don't have to pick up the NPCs, but you can.
Okay.
And they're random, like they're randomly generated NPCs, and I'm one of the NPCs that you can find. And I found me, and I found me, and I saved me. And that's actually my Discord picture is me, because I found me.
Yeah. Yeah,
anyway. So that's those awesome. Are the two games I'm in.
I love that. That's your claim to fame. Yeah.
I'm immortalized in video games.
Well, you've got me beat there, because we compete in everything. But you
How many games are you in, Gemma?
Two fewer than you, so zero. At least that I know of. You know what? I could be in 100 games that I don't know about.
That's true. That'll be my goal at the end of this year, is to get you into a video game somehow.
I'd be happy with that. I might just, be a happy person if I was in a video game.
Okay.
I would have to approve the content, though. Like, it has to be my good side or whatever, you know?
That's funny.
Yeah, no, I think so too. But I just realized, sorry, going back to the very beginning of this conversation about the Pokemon refunds, how do you get a refund on the eShop? Do you just have to email Nintendo and go, hey, and why are they doing this? Is it because the game is glitchy? And they're like, this game is so glitchy, I want my money back. And Nintendo's going, yeah, okay, here you go. Like, you have to approve it? Or
I don't know. And it's weird because not everybody got the refund. So I'm not sure why that is, but there's been reports on Reddit that people are saying, yeah, I got my refund. Now, I mean, it's Reddit as well, so who knows, right? But Nintendo Life carried that article as well, so I'm assuming that it's legit. So,
wow, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah,
you would think if that's the case, they would have to address these issues.
Right. Well, that's one of the reasons that they're giving refunds is because nobody's saying anything, right? Nobody's addressing this issue. So I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's like you have to play some, you know, if you played so many hours in it, they're going to be like, no, you put enough time into it. Like, you're not giving a refund, right?
Yeah, like 20 or 50 hours or something.
Yeah. That,
like, come on.
Right.
Yeah. There might be some criteria there. But then we're seeing other reports saying that it's sold extremely well.
Yeah, well, like in Japan, it pushed so many units, right?
Yeah.
So,
like, was it 10 million or something in 3 days or something like that?
Something like that. Yeah, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Which is not a surprise. It's Pokemon in Japan, so it's probably going to do well.
Right.
Yeah. Hopefully, they're not all up in arms about it. But
yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so that's the big news for this week. Let's move on to games that we're playing.
Mm-hmm.
May I start?
You certainly may. Yes, please.
Okay. So I rolled credits on Once Upon a Jester.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I love this game.
Yeah.
I love this game. Yeah.
And I haven't, I wanted to try it this week and I just didn't get around to it. I mean, I barely got around to Pokemon. So
that's fair.
It's on my list though, because you definitely sold it. So, and has that continued? Like, are you still, like, this is amazing and you love it?
Yeah. Right. I laughed at a lot of parts in the game. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a heartwarming story.
Mm-hmm.
And It's just the humor is just so off the wall wacky. It's just it's so silly and funny. I kind of want to go back through the game a little bit just to listen to the music, because the music is probably like some of my favorite parts in the game.
Mm. Yeah, we said it was written by 4 musicians, right?
Yeah.
So that obviously shows. Yeah.
And there's like one song in particular. Well, there's a lot of songs in the game that I really like, but there's one song in particular that I was like, oh, like this is what this game's all about. And it's called Friendship, and they're both on a boat. It's really funny.
Yeah.
You know, Friendship.
Uh-huh.
and they actually, on their website, they sold a shirt that says Friendship, and it has Salk and Jester in this boat. It's kind of funny, but I don't know. I hope that they explore these characters some more, because there's a lot of backstory that they allude to of these two characters. And some of the maybe antics that they were up to before the events of this game. So I will say for 4 musicians, who, you know, like I would say probably like game development is not their forte. And I would say like narrative story is not their forte, but that's not true. Like musicians can tell a really good story. Like, I really liked this story a lot. And the fact that they picked up on nuances, like the fact that you don't have to hit me over the head with backstory. Like, let me tell you about this, you know, like there's just characters from their past that showed up in a town that they like alluded to the past. And they're like, yeah, we grew up since then. Like, we're not that same person. And it was like really well done. And I don't know. It was a really, at the end, I was like, I really liked the story the most. Like, I loved the silliness of the game, and just like the goofiness of the game and the humor in it. But probably the story won me over the most, just because it's a good story about 2 friends that basically they change. Like it's a hero quest story, actually. So
And without giving the end away, are there alternate endings, or is it kind of just
there's
one?
Not
okay,
yeah,
just out of interest.
Well, you know, that's a good question. I don't think so, because you know, you're supposed to get 15 bouquets through 3 different cities or 4 different cities to be able to play in the Royal Festival. And I got them all, so I don't know if there's like what happens if you don't get all bouquets. I don't know, actually.
Chris.
So I didn't, maybe that'd be one reason to play through, just to see what happens when you don't get all the bouquets. Because I mean if there's multiple endings, which I don't think there is, but if there is, I got the best ending. So
cool. Yeah, well, I mean, if you don't get a bouquet, does that, because you got them all, you probably don't know the answer to this, but can you go back and try again?
Like, yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, there are shows that I put on that I didn't get. So you can get up to 5 bouquets, right, in the each show. And there were shows that I got, one show I got 3, most shows I got 4, and then there was a couple that I got 5. So I don't know if you can redo that show again, or if like, oh, sorry. Like, cause you're competing against another person that's trying to get 15 bouquets as well.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. That's a good question.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. But
I'm thinking keep doing shows until you get 15, basically.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know. I should. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe you do. I don't know. But I really like the game.
Yeah, that's good. I like that you like it. You've definitely sold that feeling that feeling to me and hopefully listeners as well. So
yeah,
like I said, it is on my list. And I think you said it will probably be on your game of the year kind of list.
Yeah. Certainly a contender for game of the year. I don't know where it's gonna fall yet.
Yeah. And you want me to come up with 10 games. That's a lot.
Well, maybe five. I don't know. We'll have to.
I'll have to think about it.
Yeah, we'll have to think about it. But what have you been playing?
Well, apart from the brief Pokemon and Scarlet playing that I did today, over the weekend I did, and I mentioned this last week because it was on sale, I picked up Minecraft Dungeons.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did. So this was something that my kids and I have been playing at the arcade a bit recently and really like because it's four players. And you kind of go through, it's like a, what is it, like a top-down kind of isometric view style of game. And you kind of level up your character and you get swords and you get armor and you have animals. It's Minecraft, right? So it's all the things of Minecraft. But in a role-playing game, I suppose you could say, it is pretty much a role-playing game. And yeah, I had looked when we started playing at the arcade, I checked it out on the Switch. And I'm like, oh, it's like $60. I don't really want to pay $60 for this. But it was like 30. So I'm like, yeah, okay. And this is Australian, so even less in the US. So I picked it up and we played it. Yeah, I sat a little bit over the weekend. Well, a fair bit, actually. A couple of hours we put into it. And the kids love it. Like,
yeah,
they're huge Minecraft fans, as a lot of kids are, right? So
yeah,
I'm not a huge Minecraft person. It's fine. I get it. It's fun. I'm not a sandbox building kind of person. It's just not my thing, but it's good. But this is different. This isn't Minecraft. It's Minecraft Dungeons, and it's a lot more like an RPG. And it is
You're not building things.
You go through different levels. There's a story, right? And there's this illager who's taken over the world or whatever. And you're out to defeat all the bad guys and get to this illager who's crowned himself king of the world or something. And, you know, along the way you go through like, I don't know, creeper woods and pumpkin patch forest or something. I can't remember. They're cool names though. And the environments are really fun to explore. You have this really kind of sprawling map for each level, and each level you could easily spend between 30 and 60 minutes in each level because there's enemies to kill, obviously. But there's like sort of little missions. Like the first part of the level might be find this house or find this village or whatever, and then you find the village, and then the objective changes to survive this onslaught, and then all these enemies come at you and you got to survive, and then you might have to find something else until finally the last objective is to find the exit, and you exit the level. Pardon me. But also along the way there are little like dungeons, I guess, because it's kind of an overworld, so you're sort of in a forest or whatever. But there are little dungeons along the way that you can find and go into, and they're a little bit harder with different enemies, and there's treasure chests, and you open the treasure chest to get coin or gems, and then you get like armor, and you can upgrade your armor, and you can you get these little, I think when you level up you get something, I can't remember what it's called, like it's a point or whatever, and you can use that point to power up your weapon even further.
Okay.
So there's a lot of like skill, it's kind of like a skill point, I guess, something like that.
Okay.
It's not that, but it's like that, you know what I mean? And yeah, so it's really fun. The customization is really good. You can choose from like, well, I mean, the one that I got, and this was the $60 version that was on special. It's like the, I don't know what it's called, like the deluxe version. It's like all the DLC. So there's heaps of character packs. There's heaps of extra levels. There's a lot of content. So it was well worth the $30-something that I paid, that's for sure. And I think my kids, even they'll be playing it for ages, I reckon. Yeah, it's good fun. I mean, I'm enjoying it. It's not one I would want to play by myself. You could, but because it's up to four players, and I believe it has online as well. We haven't tried.
Do they have online? I think they do. I think it does. Because
they do. You probably need a Microsoft account, I assume, being Minecraft.
Interesting.
I think.
Interesting.
I would guess, but we haven't actually tried that. But yeah, you can. There's definitely an online mode, like that. We saw that in the menu, so you can definitely connect. I just don't know how easy that is. But we just played the three of us, and that was super fun. So
I wonder if it's cross-play.
Maybe, because I mean, Minecraft is. We have the Switch version of Minecraft. That's my only foray into Minecraft. I bought that because the kids play it on like a tablet, you know, like an Android device. Okay. And I saw the Switch version. It was like, I don't know, it's like $20 or something. It was on special. It was actually, I think it's just cheap anyway. this is a couple of years ago. And so I bought it for the kids, like, hey guys, look, this is a reward for having a great term at school or something. Minecraft. And like, ah, oh, yeah. I'm like, it's Minecraft on the Switch. And they don't like it because the controls, what? The controls are too weird. They're used to the tab, like the touch screen. I mean,
oh,
the Switch is touch screen, but I think it's just different. It's not like, it's not the same. It's not the same.
Interesting.
It's not the same as playing it on a tablet device, like a smart device.
Huh.
But I've played it on the Switch and I'm like, yeah, this is fun. You know, you dig, you build stuff, you fly. I just like to fly into the sky as high as I can in creative mode. they spend hours in this thing. I'm just like, yeah, I'm kind of done. I feel bad because it's the same with Mario Maker, actually, because you know I'm a big Mario fan.
Yeah.
But I didn't really spend a lot of time with Mario Maker. I think I might have told you this before. I like to play the levels, but I want someone else to design them for me. So I don't know if that's like a personality type or something. I just, or am I lazy? I don't know. Like, I'm creative.
I know you are.
Good Mario level when I see one.
Yeah.
But I just don't really have the time or the patience to build things anymore. So I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Does that sound a bit grinchy?
No. Yeah. You ruined this episode several times now your grinch attitude. My goodness. Yeah. It's interesting because I think there's like, I remember when Minecraft first came out and I think it could, I remember my friend playing it on a tablet and then I was like, oh, I really want to play that. And he was telling me about like this dragon at the end of the game and blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, I really wanted to play it and I didn't have any device that I could play it on. And it is, it's just weird. It fascinates me. It's not weird to me, but it fascinates me that there are people that will just like host a session online and like stream it. And they'll just like play Minecraft with a bunch of people and like build stuff. And like people have built like airplanes and museums and like amusement parks and just crazy, crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the times that I've played it, I would go digging and then I would find those zombie type characters. What are those things called?
Well, there are zombies. Are they just called zombies?
I thought they had a name, like some weird name. But
there's creepers. Oh, there's those endermen.
Creepers.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So they would like go into my dungeons and I'd be like, oh my god. I don't know, so it's a fascinating game.
It is, because it is very popular and not just really, with kids still, like I have friends still. Yeah, like you said, who play online. I have friends like that as well who are really into it, and I'm fine with that. I'm not dissing it at all. Like, that's great. It's just not something I'm particularly good at or interested in. But Minecraft Dungeons, I love that it's taking that world, because I like the design. Like, I know we talked about the amiibo and you didn't really like the Steve and Alex amiibo.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought they looked good. But I kind of like that Minecraft just sticks to its blocky square design. Like, this is its thing. It's like, it's almost like Lego in a way. It's just, it's square. And it's cool and it works. And in Minecraft Dungeons, I think, if you're a Minecraft fan who has any kind of RPG inklings or inclinations, you'll love it for sure, because it's got everything. It's got all of the enemies that you've seen in the game, the spiders, the zombies, the creepers, the endermen, they're all in there. It's good, it's fun, it is really fun. For me, it's more enjoyable than Minecraft, just because it's more up my alley. Like, I like RPGs. It was one of my main genres. Like, I love platformers probably the most. But before I had kids, I spent a lot of time on RPGs. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Many, many time. Like, many, many hours.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. RPGs are my main genre, I would say.
Right. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I grew up with, like, Secret of Mana and obviously Legend of Zelda and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Anything else?
That's all I've been playing, I believe.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Hmm. Well, then let's do this. Let's take a break. Mm-hmm. And then when we come back, we'll have Barry on the show and we'll talk about all the fun things and what they're doing over at Premium Edition Games. So stay tuned. And welcome back to the show. This week, we have a very special guest. We have Barry Carenza. He is a video game industry analyst, collector. He is the co-host of Nintendo Fuse podcast and the Premium Playcast, and a founding member of Premium Edition Games. Barry, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to hang out and talk with you, Roger.
Yeah, well, Barry and I have been on my other podcast before, so Barry and I know each other. But since our listeners probably don't know who you are on the Pure Nintendo podcast, tell us about yourself.
Sure. So as you said, I'm a hardcore, probably over-the-top video game collector. Been so pretty much my entire life from birth. And I've been studying the gaming industry seriously for over 2 decades now. And I just love it. I love the business aspect. I love the numbers. I love the marketing strategies and the development strategies and even a release windows. I've always been fascinated by this industry. And you know, and that's how I got started doing things like Nintendo Fuse. I've been doing that for over a decade, and doing journalism there and reviews and then the podcast and just getting to talk about video games and people listening for whatever reason. I loved it. So thank you for all the years for people listening. And then, of course, joining the Premium Playcast was also great because I need more things to fill up my schedule. So it was great to just throw in another podcast. And, you know, from there, the two other co-hosts at the time were like, hey, we're going to be starting a video game publishing company. Do you want to join? And I was like, yeah, let's get this thing off the ground. So, you know, right from the beginning, you know, we've been doing Premium Edition Games, and it's just been wonderful. Just a dream come true to know that, you know, I have a small part in this ginormous, like a small cog in this ginormous machine, really, of bringing these digital only titles to physical space and making the dreams come true for a lot of these developers, which is just, it's awesome. So yeah. I'm glad to have my mark in the gaming industry permanently now, I guess.
For sure.
Yeah.
So when did that actually start? When did Premium Edition Games come to fruition?
That started the worst year possible, 2020.
Of course.
we started early 2020, like right after the pandemic. We're in the pretty much the infancy. Getting games and figuring out logistics and how it would work. And we launched our first title in the summer of 2020, which was Super Blood Hockey. And you know, we announced ourselves to the world with a direct. We decided we were going to do a premium direct because we love how Nintendo does it. Mm-hmm. And the original, what's funny is the first direct was actually written for the two, you know, main co-founders. And they're like, well, we want you to be a part of it. We want you to be the voice. I was like, okay. So I was brought into I was not originally written into the direct, but I became written into the direct as a voice. And what happened was it was like going to be like the announcer. So I was doing the announcing work. And we had our little cartoons doing it. And I was talking to the editor during the recording. And I said, you know, it'd be funny because, like, you know, it's like the meta joke of this booming voice. You know, like, where is this voice coming from? Have like, one of the characters look up and be like, oh, you know, maybe it's coming from this cloud or whatever. And so the editor decided to roll with that and just have this cloud persistently there and like move as I was talking. And I was like, oh God, I'm a little, you made me a cloud. What the heck? Like, I'm not a cloud. So the entire first thing, the first direct, I'm a cloud. So for future directs, especially the second direct, I wrote all the ones after that because I started getting ideas. I'm like, how can we advanced the storyline, and that was one of the first things I did. Is like, I got to get myself out of this cloud and confirm that I am a person, not a cloud. So I actually wrote that into the second direct, which was just fun to do, and like the meta joke of, you know, being a cloud. So of course, when we announced Rain in Your Parade, I actually had people messaging me like, how could you keep a cloud game secret? Like this is perfect. And I'm like, I honestly, that wasn't even part of the thought process to signing that game. It's just an awesome game. But looking back, it's like, that's kind of meta.
Yeah, that's hilarious. I didn't realize that you guys started in 2020. I thought, yeah, I mean, it just, you, because it just feels like you have been, well, you're just established longer than that. So I'm really shocked, like 2020.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be, much longer ago.
Yeah. And I didn't realize Super Blood Cocky was one of your, what was your first game?
It was the first.
Yeah.
That and Pigeon Dev Games Collection were the Series 1 titles. But our first direct, talked about them and Robot Name Fight. That was our first direct.
Nice.
And we dropped, and Super Blood Hockey was a shadow drop. We literally were like, and it's available now. And afterwards, we realized we're like, we probably should have announced that at the end of the direct because people like stopped watching and immediately because we premiered it and stopped and went to go buy. And I'm like, well, what about the rest of the direct? And I'm like, all right. So any shadow drops we're doing, we're at the end of the direct, and Nintendo does that too, like available after the direct. I'm like, oh, there's a reason they do that. I get it.
So can you talk a little bit about the process about bringing physical games or digital games into the physical realm? Like, what does that look like and how does that work?
It is a long, long process, more so than I would have ever imagined getting into this. So first off, there has to be communication between us and either a digital publisher or a developer, depending on who owns the rights, which, you know, really happens by either us reaching out to a game that we're interested in or them reaching out to us. And at that point, we have to play the game because we're a small company. We're not just going to publish everything. So we want to curate and make sure that all of our releases are what we consider the creme de la creme. And once the team has time to play the game and talk about it, and provided that it you know, it meets our criteria and we want to move forward, we have a discussion, a meeting with either the digital publisher or the developer. We send over a contract and go back and forth, and provided everything works and the contract is signed, we begin the production process, which the way we do that is we use Trello, and we let the developers be a part of the Trello board and work with our production team, which I am not a part of. So the production team pretty much will come up with ideas for the manuals, for the, you know, slipcase, for the sleeve, the inner sleeve, you know, inlay and the retro box, and discuss with the developers what they want, like as the bonus items. And we make them be as much as part of the process or as little as they want to be. We want them to be involved. So they're part of the board. So say, like, hey, here's the manual. They'll put it up on the board and the developer can, you know, read it and confirm it and check it and give the signs off. Here's what we are thinking for the cover art, and here's what we're thinking for the slipcase. And sometimes they'll provide their own artists. Sometimes they'll ask us to commission. Sometimes they already have key art and say, well, we would really like this art used. So we make it work. And once that's all done, like we have it, that's just the tip of the iceberg, which is the crazy thing. Cause you say, oh, I got it all written and done. But then we have to submit the game to Nintendo, the digital game, for lot check, which physical lot check is different than digital lot check. They are very strict about that. They're very thorough in their investigation to make sure the game works properly. And once it passes that stage, the lot check stage, then we submit everything else to Nintendo. So Nintendo approves all the artwork on our games, approves the manuals, and approves all the, you know, the items in the retro box and the retro box itself. And if, you know, that's done, we have the ESRB certification at that point. And once all that's done, then we can get on to Nintendo's schedule for production, which happens after we do the pre-order period. And then Nintendo will make the carts, and we have, you know, manufacturers for the manual and the slipcases and all that stuff. And once all that's manufactured, it gets shipped to our plant, where it all gets assembled, and then from there it's shipped to our warehouse, and then from there it's shipped to the customers.
It's a
big process. It is absolutely a big process.
That's huge. What would you say would be from start to finish, generally, like approximately? From deciding we want to make this game to the shipping.
From the time we really began the full production, when I said like, oh, this is the tip of the iceberg, like from that point, usually around 4 to 5 months. That, you know, was obviously subject to some delays. We had some delays due to freight shipping for like Robot Named Fight Deluxes because of all the stuff that was happening in 2020. One with the cargo being backed up and all the ships off the side of California and like stuff that's out of our control that was delayed longer. And I hate that it was, we all do, but you know, certain things are out of our control. So we estimate, you know, 4 to 5 months, give or take. Now, a lot of this stuff is done before we even put up for pre-order. We do have most, I say most of the artwork. And even when we put a game up, we always have artwork subject to change because sometimes a developer will think of something, you know, 11th hour, which has happened before, and we'll have to change things up. But we do make it a point at this point to have lot check, at least for the game itself, passed before we put a game up for pre-order. So that's the hardest step overall. Because they're very strict. And once that's done, at least then we know we're good to go. We can put it up for pre-order, and we can absolutely make the game.
Wow. That's amazing. And I love that. I have to admit, I did not know. In my head, you guys were making the actual game cartridges or the carts, right? So I didn't know. I just didn't even think that Nintendo actually manufactures them, which I guess gives
proprietary.
Which makes sense. And that obviously makes it completely legitimate and more of a collector's item, I suppose, for people.
Well, every physical release for the Switch, it is legitimate. It has to be manufactured by Nintendo. So they're all released. And for America, we have to have the ESRB rating. So all of our games have that. They are official releases. They're not like bootlegs or anything like that. Like they're part of the NTSC catalog. In Australia, you have PAL. Peggy. I mean, you have Peggy for your the PAL versions. It's the same thing. And because the Switch is region free, which is fantastic, you know, everybody worldwide is able to enjoy these great games.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, speaking of the great games, you did mention the Direct that you had recently. Do you want to highlight some games for us that we could be interested in?
So we just did, when I say just, a couple of months ago now, we did our Series 5 Direct, which was, really the Fall 2022 Direct. That was a beast. That was originally a 13-page script that got cut down to 11 pages.
Wow.
It was a beast. It was just a fun process within the team to make that happen, and it took everybody pulling together to make it happen, and really proud of it. And our showpieces were Series 5 for Switch, the Switch Series 5, which consists of four games. The first two are a partnership with Screenwave and Retroware, which we're really proud of that partnership, which is Eagle Island Twist and Love 3. So Love 3 is a precision platformer made by Fred Wood, who worked on titles like Undertale. It's a very simplistic looking game, but very challenging levels. And it also contains all the levels from Love 1 and 2. So it's really cool. It's a complete package. Then you have Eagle Island Twist, which is Pixel Nix made that. That is two games in one. You have the Eagle Island, the original, which is a roguelike Metroidvania style title. And then you have Eagle Island Twist, which is a little more casual. It's got like a Mario 3 style map. It's got 2D platforming levels. It's got some levels like Smash Brothers, some that are fighting, some are racing. It's really got a variety. Cool. Yeah, it's a great 16-bit style action game. And both of those are on the cart, and all of our games are complete on cart to the best of our ability. So you're getting everything there. And then our second half of Series 5, which is available as well, consists of two games, Raji, an Ancient Epic Enhanced Edition, as well as They Bleed Pixels. So Raji is a beautiful, beautiful story set in Indian mythology. It's like an isometric God of War style action game with the story is just gorgeous. The music is beautiful. It's all Indian developers, you know, focusing on Indian culture and Indian mythology, and it tells such a beautiful tale. So it's been a real highlight and an honor to be able to bring that. Notting Head Games put it together, just a wonderful studio. And then They Bleed Pixels is from Spooky Squid. This is a precision platformer with a combat system. So it's got one button, simplistic combat like Smash Brothers. So one button does an attack. The same button by moving up does a different attack, down does a different attack, etc. And use these combo systems to defeat enemies along the path through the world. And when you fill up your meter enough, you could actually create checkpoints and use those checkpoints, because you will die a lot, because these levels are tough. But they're tough by design, but they're not impossible. They're, all right, I know I could beat this, one more try kind of thing. And with the checkpoint, it really lets you get past that tough section and then immediately do a checkpoint. And it's like, okay, let's keep going. And the combat is so satisfying to like uppercut enemies into spinning saw blades and watch them just like torn apart. It's so good. So good. Obviously, pixel graphics and the pixel blood is just over the top. Truly, all four of these titles are phenomenal titles. But we also announced some other games that are available in hand, like Robot Named Fight got a reprint with a steelbook. That's our steelbook edition that is available on our site.
That's awesome.
We've got the Series 3 titles, Cathedral, Phenotopia Awakening, and Mighty Fight Federation available on our site right now. Those are in hand. We announced that Series 4 titles, Wonderling DX and Rain Your Parade, will be available shortly. And as of the time of this, we expect to have them in hand December.
Nice.
So they will be shipping once they're in hand and shipped to the pre-orders. We will put those back in the site. We announced that Rack and Ruin is entering the production phase. That's the other half of Series 4. So we're really happy about that. We have the Gamers for Gamers, which are charity versions of our titles, where 20% of the proceeds of the purchase goes to the Gamers for Kids charity to help future generations of gamers come to be. And those have exclusive variant covers, or the slipcovers, and those are normally convention exclusives, but we do have a very small number on the website, or going to the website. Cathedral is up as of Cyber Monday, and the other two in that series will follow with it throughout 2022, so the end of the year, December, maybe into January. So there's a lot going on, a lot, to look forward to, and that's just stuff up for pre-order now and available. We have Pigeon Dev Games Collection is still available. We have a few copies. We put some Demon's Tier Plus retro editions back up for Black Friday. There's still a few of those left. It's just really cool to have this catalog of great stellar titles that we're able to provide on the site to allow people to try for the first time.
Yeah. I see, this is why I thought you guys were around longer than 2020, because I mean, you produce so much.
Yeah.
And it's so amazing and how busy you are. Like,
yeah,
it's crazy.
Well, we go slowly. We understand that money is, doesn't grow in trees. We understand that time is certainly limited, and we want to make sure that people can have an opportunity to get the titles we put out. And because we go slowly, we're able to curate those releases and make sure that they're all, top quality. And if you want to go for a full set, you're not going to break the bank. Because we do have people who say, I want the full set. And it's like, okay, in 2.5 years, we put up 14 releases total. In 2.5 years, we've shipped 7 already. We're about to ship 8 and 9. And we have, the rest up for pre-order right now. I think we're doing pretty good. And we're slowing down a little bit, because we were only supposed to do 2 games this fall. The deal with ScreenWave came into be, and we said, well, this is too good to pass up. These games are awesome. So we did that, but we're going to go slower again next year. We're going to, we're not looking for new Switch titles until, spring, possibly even summer. We also announced in the direct that we are working with PlayStation 4 and 5 titles. So we are going to do probably some of those in the meantime to let Switch players digest a bit and enjoy these titles. We really don't want titles to overshadow each other. We don't want it to be like the flavor of the week. Mm. We want each of these games that we talk about to really have their time to shine. And then, you know, from there, we'll talk about new titles as they come out.
I love that. That sounds like a true gaming enthusiast. And, you know, you said right at the start, you've been a collector your whole life, and you know how it works. You know that these games deserve their time in the limelight and to be appreciated. So I think I actually really love that. That's great.
Well, that's one of the reasons with all of our releases. Not only do all of our releases come with full color manuals, because we're collectors, we like our manuals and inlay art, color, you know, both sides, two-sided inlay art and slipcases, but they all come with a challenge card as well. And the challenge card is cool because one side is beautiful art and the other side is a challenge from the developer themselves. So everyone we sign, we ask them to pretty much give us a challenge. And that challenge is right from the developers. Should you open the game, see the challenge, and complete the challenge, you submit it by posting on social media your picture with what's needed in the picture, showing your proof, and you send us an email with your link to your social media, where you got the game, and your name and address, and we will mail you a physical patch, like an iron-on patch, for each game as a free reward or free achievement, if you will. You know, because we want these games to be played and we think this is, you know, something to go above and beyond. The same way, if you pre-order any of our releases, you're also going to get a free dog tag per game. Every game gets a dog tag as just a free bonus or a way of saying thank you for supporting us and pre-ordering the title. It's just little things like that we're always trying to do to stand out.
That is so cool. Awesome. So can you give us an example of a challenge? I'm really interested in this.
So each title is different. So, for example, Super Blood Hockey, you have to take the life of another player during franchise mode. for Pigeon Dev Games Collection, you have to beat any of the four titles of your choice on the collection. Robot Name Fight, you have to find the Glitch Realm, Demon's Tier Plus. You have to beat the third boss with the Cleric. You have to be on the Cleric. Cathedral, you have to beat the Necromancer. Phenotopia Awakening, you got to catch Turtle. And Mighty Fight Federation, you have to get two different costumes for any character of your choice in the game. Those are just, you know, our earlier challenges, as much later challenges for all those other releases. But just as a tip, you know, just an example, like, it's varied. It's not like do the same thing per game. Every game has a different challenge and different. And some challenges you could probably do, like you could play one game in Super Blood Hockey, the first game in your franchise, and get lucky and kill somebody and go, wow, that challenge is quick. And then I've had players that have told me they've spent 30 hours in Roman Name Fight trying to get the Glitch Realm and they still never got it. When other people, you could literally boot up Robot Name Fight and talk to the first NPC and get into the Glitch Realm. Like it's RNG. So there's a lot of things to it where, you know, you could do it really quickly or it could take a while. So we like that there's a variety. And some people say like, oh, this challenge is too hard. And other people say it's too easy. What challenge is supposed to be a challenge? Mm-hmm. And the patches are limited. They're not like, we're not doing, you know, as many patches per game. Like, no, they are significantly limited, and they've only gotten more limited. So there's more Super Blood Hockey and Pigeon Dev challenges for Series 1 because we didn't know what to expect versus a Series 4 patch, you know, for Wonderling and Rain Your Parade, which, you know, those games haven't shipped yet, so no one's earned them yet, but there's even less patches for them than there were for Series 3 or Series 2 beforehand.
Yeah, that's awesome. This is... And another reason I wanted to have you on at this time, Barry, is because I think this is like a perfect gift for, you know, enthusiasts, gaming enthusiasts that are looking for, you know, a collector's item. And this is like a perfect holiday gift for somebody on your list. You're like, I don't know what they're a huge, you know, fan of, you know, Switch. I just don't know what to get them. This is awesome.
Oh, I would be so happy if I got this as any of the games on your website. I'd be very happy to receive as a gift.
Yeah.
Hint, hint. That's awesome. No, kidding.
Jim, I ordered Wreck and Ruin for myself. Okay, that's for me. So
there's plenty of other great games. Rack and Ruin is still in pre-order, but we have plenty of in-hand great games as well. And the pre-order titles, one of the things we're doing, because we are a small company, and it started actually with Rack and Ruin, where we're doing what we call first print, where the first print of our titles, and they are limited. That's just, we limited to a smaller number, just to really give some something bonus for those that support us early on. Is it going to be exclusive slipcover on the first print titles? All like retro editions, you know, will have the first print because we're going to do those all together. But all the standards, there's only going to be a limited number of first print that have their own exclusive slipcover. So second prints of the titles will, everything else is still going to be the same, but it's going to be a different slipcover, or we're still toying around with it. It might be the same slipcover, but the first print will have like foil and, you know, extra stuff to really show like this is a first print. So we're doing something special there. So we really want to, you know, because we really, you know, want to give something to those that truly like, hey, they're supporting us right from the get-go. But then there's plenty of people that really don't care, and they'll be like, oh, I'll see it at a show, and I'm fine with just grabbing it. And that's cool too. So you can give that gift for all the pre-order stuff right now up. We do have first print copies, but they're selling out. I know Eagle Owen Twist Retro Edition is sold out, and I've gotten at least, you know, 10 emails from people, and it just sold out the other day. Like, hey, it's sold out. Is there any way I could still get one? And it's like, well, that's why we encourage people to follow us and sign up for the newsletter, because I hate those emails. I want everybody to get them, but we only manufacture so many. So it's like when it's done, it's done, at least for the retros. For standard editions, we will do reprints because we aren't a limited company, but reprints will not be the first print.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think I got the retro edition for Wreck and Ruin. I think that's what I ordered.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, I'm super excited about that game.
That is so cool. Yeah.
So Barry, I'm going to ask you some questions that I didn't prep you for.
Good.
So the first one, I mean, it's kind of going back, hearkening back to the comments that you made about the fact that, you know, there's a process of a pretty like, you know, rigorous process for Nintendo games to be, you know, Nintendo produces the carts and they have to go through all this process. Question for you, how did Pokemon Violet and Scarlet then get produced with as many issues? It just seems weird to me. That seems so strange that that happened.
All right. Well, I mean, I'll be honest. I played Pokemon played Scarlet actually for probably about 50 hours at this point.
Okay.
And I really haven't experienced any glitches.
Oh,
I've
excellent.
Experienced, you know, the occasional slowdown and the low frames per second on NPCs that everyone does. And it had a big staff. So the answer to this is twofold. Is in terms of the frames per second and the slowdowns and stuff like that, that's a time issue, I'm gonna guess. It's a big team, but it's just they only have so much time. So I think they just ran out of time to fully polish the game, and I have a feeling there'll be a patch. As for the glitches, you only have so many testers, right? Game testing will only have so much, and even, you know, obviously an indie game has very, very few game testers versus a title from Nintendo, but you still only have so many.
Yeah.
And when you release a game and it sells over 10 million units and it has 10 million players now testing the game, they are going to do things or see things that you're, however many, even if you had 100 people, 200 people testing the game, may never even thought about.
Yeah.
So that's the reason some of these glitches are happening. If you notice, one person will say, oh, like, oh, there's an image of like the eyes bugging out of one character. Like, there's only one person with that video and people just share it around. But then, like, no one else is saying, oh, I had that too. Or at least no one else I've seen. And there's a reason for that. It's probably just an isolated bug. It's not a big deal, but it's funny.
Yeah.
But people will blow it out of proportion because it's sensationalism. And everyone seems to love sensationalism and down with the man. And, oh, look at this. it's like those people that are making those clickbait videos on, look, Nintendo's, Pokemon's so bad that Nintendo's giving refunds on it.
Yeah.
It's not that's a non-thing because Nintendo will give you a refund on one item you could choose. It doesn't matter what it is or the quality. So it's nothing to do with Pokemon's quality. It has everything to do with that's just what Nintendo does. But people like that sensationalism, and it gets clickbait, and it's like the cool thing to do right now is let's hate on Pokemon because it has some glitches. Now, do I think the game deserves to be polished? Absolutely. Should it have been released in a better state? Yes. Mm. Are these people blowing this 100% out of proportion? Yes. Mm. That's my take, at least.
Okay.
That's fair.
And it's sorry, Gemma. What are you going to say?
Oh, I mean, I've played the game. I don't think Roger has yet, have you?
No, I haven't.
And I haven't put 50 hours into it, unfortunately, maybe five, but I'm similar to you. I haven't had any issues that are deserving of all of this.
I mean, the frame rate needs to be fixed. There's a windmill in one town, and when you're far away and you look at it, it looks like a clock, and you have to really get close to it for it to spin. And the first time you go to school, you go to your class, and the kids are like kicking their feet, and they're going at like 2 frames per second. It looks like a flipbook. It's really, really bad, and that should have been polished. And people are saying, "Oh, the Switch isn't powerful enough." And I'm sorry, play Xenoblade 3. The Switch is absolutely powerful enough.
Yeah.
It's just a time crunch thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's good to hear, because like I was on the fence of purchasing it, and
Love it. It's phenomenal.
Well, I figured you were playing it because your Twitter handle has, you know, you're playing the game. So I figured that you're playing it. Another question for you. This is a 2-part question.
Good.
You know, you've been part of the industry for a long time now. So what is one thing that you think the industry gets right and you're like, this is awesome and I'm glad and I want this to continue this way? And what's one thing that you're like, boy, this needs to change, or if you had the ability to change it, you would change it?
Great question. So I think what the industry has done right overall has been innovation. I think for better or for worse, the steady increase in just system power and graphics and capabilities since Gen 1 to where we are now, absolutely phenomenal. Obviously, the last few generations haven't had that huge technical leap, and that's a shame, but there's not much more we can go. So I love to see thinking outside the box with, you know, like motion controls or like the VR and stuff like that, as long as it's not forced and it's just an option. I think it's a great, great thing for this industry. As for negatives, There's a bunch. You know, for me, day one patches need to die in a fire. Release your game complete. Don't get rid of time crunches and let developers take the time they need to really get the game out there. I'm not saying you can't have bug fixes down the road, because it's impossible to you know, get all bugs right away. Even like old Nintendo games still had bugs in it and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's impossible. But relying on day one patches is just a terrible practice. Get rid of it. The fake physicals, get rid of those too. Those were like, oh, we're going to be cheap. So you get like next to nothing on the Switch cart and you have to download the rest. That's not a preserved game. The things like Call of Duty, you know, where you have a Blu-ray disc and all it does is link you to a link to download the game. That's no bad practice. Bad. You should be ashamed, Activision. let's remove things like that. Those are definite terrible.
That seems like a lazy choice, isn't it?
Garbage. It's garbage.
Yeah.
You know, on disc DLC, which they haven't done in a while, but that was a terrible practice too.
Those are really good points. All right, and then I'm going to pitch a game to you, Barry. Okay. And it's not the game that was pitched to you on Gamerhead. So I'm going to tell you that.
You don't want
to
say it.
Thank God.
We said we wouldn't say it, didn't we?
Yeah. That's the Voldemort of games. Nobody Saves the World.
Oh, I have heard of that one.
It's a great game. I don't think there's a physical copy of it. I think that would be perfect for premium edition games. This is my thought.
Well, you know, this is definitely something that I'll look. Here's the deal. I always look into things or try.
Yeah.
I always tell people I can't promise anything. I could reach out and they just go like, oh, you know, nothing is gonna happen, or nothing is, you know, like they don't, I don't even get a response.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get a response and it's pretty much like, oh, yes, we already have a partner in place.
Yeah.
And you can't, I can't say anything at that point, which sucks. Yeah. Sometimes they might be in talks, but they're still willing to, you know, humor us and talk with us. And, you know, maybe we'll get the contract. So all I can say is, you know, I've heard good things about it. So it's absolutely something that I will attempt to reach out on, but I can't make any promises.
Sure. So you haven't played it then?
I have not played it.
Okay. No. Okay. Yeah. I really like this game. So, I don't know, Barry, this is like sacrilege because like this is a Nintendo podcast, but it is on Game Pass if you have Game Pass. So
I don't have Game Pass. I'm one of the few Xbox owners that don't.
Oh.
And I don't have Game Pass because I'm a physical collector, one.
Not sure.
And two, I have probably between my Xbox Series X and my Xbox One, which I got both at launch. I maybe put in 10 hours on both systems combined because there's just too many great games on between the Wii U, because the Wii U was out with the Xbox One, the Switch, the PS4, the PS5, the 3DS, the Vita, and the, you know, they took all my time away. So Xbox hasn't had that big pull for me. So I felt Xbox Game Pass would be a waste of my money because not only, you know, do I collect physical, but I wouldn't even have time to play Xbox games because I'm too busy playing, you know, Nintendo and PlayStation games.
Fair. That is a fair. I mean, and I probably should cut that out because I probably should be talking about Xbox.
Do I have time to ask you about your collection? Can
you
I
have
do that?
Time to ask anything you want.
I am interested because you said you're such a collector from almost birth. Like, what is some of your most prized possessions in your collection? I mean, specifically thinking of Nintendo, obviously, but thinking of like Super Nintendo or even Game Boy or something. Do you have something from that kind of era?
Yeah, I just laughed because Barry shared some stuff with me. So
you know.
I'm the type of collector where everybody goes left, I go right.
Right.
That's just what I do. And I've even stopped personally, like really going for like the retro games just because I haven't had time to play them and the prices went up.
They
but
did.
I'm more of a museum collector at this point when it comes to older stuff, where I love the history of the industry, like I said, and I love the obscure, forgotten, you know, out there things. So one of my favorite things that I love is, and I think this is what you're talking about, Roger, is I love the story, and I just discovered the story last year. Yeah, it was last year with Korea, and I never heard of the story. And apparently with Korea, after World War II, they were angry with Japan because Japan was sided with Germany. And so they made it illegal for Japanese products to be sold in Korea. And because of that, you know, the rise of the video game happened. And it happened big with Nintendo and Sega to Japanese companies. So in order to get their systems into Korea, they couldn't launch it as Nintendo or Sega. They actually had to partner with Korean companies to have their titles released in Korea. So Sega partnered with Samsung and Nintendo partnered with Hyundai.
Right.
And I found this really fascinating because it's real world events, and it's you know, it's a, and it's a pretty much an aftermath of a major world war. And when I found this out, I said I have to get these. So in terms of Nintendo, as far as I can tell, Hyundai put out 5 systems, which is the original Nintendo, the SNES, the N64, the Game Boy, and the Game Boy Pocket. Of which I do have the Hyundai versions of all 5 of those systems.
Oh my gosh.
And I say that I know of because as far as I've been aware, I've never seen a Game Boy Color. And I do know that the Korean GameCube was Nintendo because at that point that law was gone and they allowed Japanese companies to just do their thing. So the GameCube came out and it was Nintendo. I have not seen a Korean Game Boy Color, so there's a chance that's a Hyundai version, but most likely not. And the hardest one for me to find was the Pocket, because unlike all the other ones that actually say Hyundai on the front of the Game Boy Pocket, it's Nintendo Game Boy. It's only on the back that has a label that says Hyundai. So right. It's really hard to find when it's just the label on the back. But that's one of them. Other things from Nintendo specifically, in Japan, Nintendo partnered with McDonald's to educate workers on how to make McDonald's products, how to, you know, make the Big Macs, how to make the fries, all that stuff. And they released two different DS titles for the DS, exclusive just to Japan and just for McDonald's restaurants as training software. So and a special DS as well with the golden arches on it.
Oh my god.
So I had to track down that as well as the two game carts. And wow. One of the game carts actually requires you to log in with a employee ID and a password. And without that, you can't even get into the game. So, you know, I happen to have the employee ID and password for my copy so that I can play that copy of the game as well.
Oh, that's
and it's a really cool game, like just making fries and making Big Macs and the Japanese exclusive, you know, meals and stuff. Like, and just you play the game and you have to try and, you know, do it quickly using the touchpad to quickly got to put this in the fryer, got to get this and got to get that. And, you know, you're timed by it. And there's little videos, compressed videos and how to make it all and little still images. And it's honestly has one of the best theme songs because they've turned the da 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 into a full theme. And it's amazing. It's like the best theme on a game that you've never played. Wow. You could go to YouTube and actually hear the theme. It's so weird that it's so good. But that's just some of like kind of where I go with. I have the common stuff too, and I don't have like a little Samson. You know, like I'd love to, but it's just one of those where it's a lot of money. And it's also more readily available, and I'd rather take that money and go for something that may take me a year or two or 10 to find.
Wow.
Because once I find it, it's like, ah, this is great, you know.
Yeah.
To me, this even if it's a stupid thing, like I've spent a year trying to find like a DS game, a particular DS game that had a slipcover on it, because it was only released in Canada with a slipcover, and I'm a slipcover collector, and like it's a stupid thing, it cost me like 10-15 bucks, like nothing extravagant, and most people would be like, I don't care, I can get the game, it's a girl's game, I'm not going to play that anyways, why would I want that in my collection? But to me it's like, no, it's really cool because it's a slipcover, it's a harder to find slipcover, it took me a while, I've got a story behind it. So yeah. Sometimes I'll go for things, you know, silly things like that too.
That's cool,
that's awesome.
Yeah, that is really,
I mean,
cool.
Barry, you shared a video with me, and like your house is like a museum. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. And I think when you were on Gamerheads, I said like, I made the comment about like, I can't have that because my kids would like destroy everything in my house, right? So like,
that's one of the things where I'm absolutely will have a lock when we have kids. I will absolutely have a lock, and they will not know that the house even has a basement until they're at least 35.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, I have enough trouble with my kids and my Amiibo collection. So.
Yeah, that was my comments too. Was like my Amiibo collection is like, cool. Can I play with all your and also the. The Battlestar, not Battlestar Galactica.
Starlink?
Starlink. Yeah, yeah. Like all those spaceships, they want to play with all my spaceships. I'm like, no, you can't.
I will teach them that, you know, daddy's toys are very different than your toys, and you need to respect other people's things. If not, then, you know, punishment will happen.
I think locking the basement is like the best idea. So,
yeah.
And stories, boogeymen and monsters and, you know, Nazis and all kinds of weird stuff are down there. You don't want to go down there.
Yeah. Nice. Gemma, do you have any other questions? I'm going to ask my last two questions here, but do you have any other questions before?
Oh my gosh. I could, but no, I think I'm good. Yes, I really
don't
enjoyed...
ask.
I want you to ask that now. Go.
Yeah.
No, I guess it's just, I mean, I'm just so fascinated with this collection. I think it's Amazing. Like how, so you said you were, you'd started it, you know, your whole life kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, what was the thing that got you into that? Like what was the first game or console that you're like, I want to collect these. Like this is good. And I want to do more of it.
Gemma, you be careful because you're going to start collecting yourself here. If you...
Oh my gosh. I could easily become a collector. I do have a bunch of old systems. And I've told you this, Roger, that I completely 100% regret selling my Super Nintendo. I don't know why I did that. It was my favorite system and I sold it. I don't even know why. I literally don't know why. But I have all the others. I have the original NES. I have the Game Boy. I have the GameCube. I have... They're not the Hyundai branded ones, mind you.
No.
They're just the Australian ones.
Yeah, I don't have the Australian ones. So.
Well, maybe we can talk, trade. But yeah, what was? Do you remember? Do you have a memory about a childhood memory that was like, yeah, I'm into this?
I mean, the first system I owned that was, you know, myself in terms of like I actually acquired it was the Game Boy, which I actually traded some baseball cards.
Oh, really? That's wait, what cards did you trade for a Game Boy?
There was this PC game. It was a baseball game. I think it was even a baseball card catalog program that came with 10 special Ken Griffey Jr. cards that were exclusive to this set only. And I had a friend who was obsessed with Ken Griffey Jr. in the early 90s. You know, he was very hot. And he was collecting Griffey cards. And I told him, I said, well, I have these 10 cards that you can only get through this program, which naturally he could have just went to the store and bought the program for $30 and got it. But he didn't. And instead he was like, oh, my God, I want those. What do you want? I was like, I don't know. He's like, well, I'll trade you my Game Boy and these four games for it. And I was like, wow. Okay.
Wow. So, not only did you get the game, but you got four games too.
Four games. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that so to like me that was a good deal. That was my first that I actually got or acquired, you know, myself, and you know, I was 10 years old, so it was like a really cool, you know, I have a lot of money obviously at 10. But no, I've been right from the start because I was born into a household with, you know, Atari 800 and a Commodore 128. So I grew up with those games. But my uncle he owned a software store. He was very, very big into computers and the Atari and the Commodore and the Amiga and all that. And he loved it. And he had a, you know, a store. So, you know, whenever there were cool games, he would, you know, would say like, oh, here's a cool, and he would always gift games to me, you know, for the Atari and the Commodore. So I always just added them. It was like, oh, here's another game to the collection. And I never sold a game from birth. So I still have those very Atari carts, those very Commodore carts, the discs, all that stuff I still own, the systems I still own. So right from the beginning, it was just great because it was a way I could bond with my uncle. And I was like, oh, here's another game. And I always go back and play the older games too. So it was like, I just kept realizing I just had this growing library and I loved it because it was like, I could pick whatever I want. You know, I'm not sitting here with bored. I always have something to play. So I kind of took that philosophy and I just kept going to the best of my ability. Of course, you know, as parents goes, my mother was like, oh, you know, video games, you should focus on your schools and apply yourself and blah, blah, blah. So of course, once I had disposable income and, you know, I was an adult, I just kind of went the polar opposite. I was like, no, I'm just gonna keep going with video games. And
yeah,
I still haven't stopped. So here I am 40 years old and I'm still going.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
That is brilliant.
That is amazing that, I didn't know that about you, that's how you got into collecting. Is that
right
your
from
uncle?
The start.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. That's so cool. Do you still have the boxes for all those games then too?
I have not the boxes complete because what happened was, A, nobody back then thought anything of it.
Yeah.
And B, they took up a lot of space. So what we did is we actually took the boxes and we cut them up. Yeah. And we use big, like the zipper, like a Ziploc bags almost, but heavier duty ones. And what we did is we put the front of the cart, like the game box in the front with the back in the back. And we put like the discs, usually for like the disc based games, we put the discs and all the manuals and stuff in the middle and we zipped it up. And that way we could put them on the shelves and have way more fit on the shelf that way. So that was the storage unit or the storage setup that my dad came up with. Just so that we can keep them, because again, we weren't, and to this day, I don't buy games due to value. It's, you know, we just play, and that was a way to, conserve space. And I'll be honest with you, talking about, you know, different things for collections, my holy grail, and I think this is the holy grail for any other collector out there, is free space. Like, you could say, hey, here's this amazing thing. Do you want it, or do you want magically more space to put stuff? And I would take magically more space to put stuff.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. So true.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because, like, I was the same way, Barry, because I'm around your age. I'm a little bit older. And it was the same thing. Like, you know, you would cut up the box just to, for a storage perspective of, right, like, well, at least I'll just have the cover and I have, and the artwork for those games back then were so, like, you know, much more amazing than they could do graphically, right? You look at the cover, you're like, whoa, this looks amazing. And the game wasn't as great, but the artwork was so amazing for that stuff. That's why same thing. Like, we would keep the cover just because it was such an amazing art.
I didn't do that with NES. I didn't, like, cut up the boxes, but I did have a bunch of them. I kept the cartridges separately for easy access, but I still had the boxes. And eventually my mom's like, no. They were taking up so much room. So instead of throwing them out, because like most parents, like, get rid of these, they're empty boxes, you don't need these. The compromise that I had to fold them up, you know, like unfold them and flatten them and put them in a box. So I did that with my boxes. So at least I still have them.
Yeah.
But that was my compromise because, again, you know, it's space and it's, you know, talking the 90s at this point, and a lot of parents just, they didn't understand. You didn't know what it was all about, and no one did.
Yeah.
Whatever, you have the cartridge, you have the manual, that's all you need. You don't need the box, it's an empty box.
Exactly. That's what, oh man, if we could just hold on to some of that stuff now, right?
So yeah.
Oh man.
Gemma, do you have any other questions?
No, I'm good, you go with yours.
Okay, well, I'm gonna ask this question.
Sure.
Out of all the games that you have available right now, what is your favorite or top two games that you were like?
I thought you weren't going to ask this one.
Did you not want me to ask this one?
It's fine. you know, pretty much what I tell everybody when they ask this is I don't have a favorite, because this is like, you know, picking your favorite child.
Yeah.
It really depends on the genre that you like, because one of the things we try and do at Premium is diversify our portfolio in terms of genres. Mm-hmm. So it depends really what you like. Like, if you like platformers, I would say, you know, Pigeon Dev Games Collection, I would say Wonderling DX, I would say Love 3, I would say Fably Pixels. If you said I love Metroidvanias, I would say Robot Named Fight or Cathedral. If you, or Eagle Eye on Twist. If you said, hey, I want action games, I would say, you know, Phenotopia Awakening, you know, Raji, you know, Demon's Tear. You know, if you say I want fighting games, I'd Mighty Fight, or on sports, I'd say Super Blood. So I love all of the releases. We all do. We all stand behind all the releases. It really just depends on what type of genre you like and what you're looking for. And I would definitely say, you know, check out trailers for the releases. Give them a shot, because there's a lot of depth to each of the titles that we have, and there's a lot of cool things. And again, all of our releases are complete on the cart. So, you know, Robot Named Fight and Wonderling DX have all the additional updates that were free updates on the cart, for example. Pigeon Dev Games Collection has exclusive music that's exclusive to the physical version, that's not in the digital version.
That's awesome.
We, you know, games like Mighty Fight Federation and Rain Your Parade actually had paid DLC, and the paid DLC is available on the cart as well. You know, Raji, nice. We waited for the enhanced edition. The enhanced edition and all that stuff is on the cart. So we really strive to make sure that every game is as complete as possible for game preservation, you know, perspective. And when the shops eventually go down, these games are not lost.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. That's awesome.
So good.
Barry, how can people find you or follow you on social media?
Sure. So if you want to follow me personally on Twitter and on Hive as a backup, I guess, I'm at Hawk Hellfire. So please feel free to send a follow. You know, I'll follow back. You know, want to send messages, talk video games. I'm always up for a good conversation about video games. I absolutely love it. if you want to talk about premium edition games, you can get all of our titles at premiumeditiongames.com. You could follow us on Twitter at premiumedition1. You could also find us on all other social media platforms at Premium Edition Games. We do have a Discord that you're welcome to join. Do suggest a release. We have a channel for that. So if there's a game you want to see physical, as well as be a part of the community that's ever growing. On our webpage is a mailing list. I do urge everyone to sign up so you do not miss out on any of our fantastic titles, because when they're gone, who knows when they're going to be back. So we just want to make sure everyone gets them. And yeah, definitely check us out.
Nice. Well, Barry, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule and joining us. This is awesome. And it's always just a pleasure having you on the show.
It has been fantastic. Yeah, thank you so much. It's been really great chatting you. With you.
The honor was all mine.
Aw. Listeners, thank you so much for giving us a listen. Until next week, stay safe and game on. And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Have a good one.